We're going to current daf Masechta Shabbos, daf Kuf Gimel. We begin 5 lines up from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Perek HaBayinu, which was talking about different things, different concepts about building. So the Mishnah said a statement which generalized and said, Zeh HaKlal, this is the general rule, that it said, Kol Oisim Melacho Melachtim Miskeemes B'Shabbos Chayev. Whoever does a work activity and his activity is sustainable, that it will last, then that's something that he's liable for doing on Shabbos. To which the Gemara asks, Zeh HaKlal L'Suyemai, what is this general rule as making generalizing concept come to include? We already spoke about that. We said whoever builds something, even the small and minute amount, is going to be liable, and they gave different examples. What are we including by saying that this is the general rule, that whatever sustains, that whatever will last, you're chayev on? To which the Gemara says, Lasuya d'chak kfizam bekava, comes to include creating a cavity of 3/4 of a kav in the space of a kav. That is, if someone has just what's called a golem, just a plain brick, something, an area that's fit to carve out in it an area of a kav. Yet he ended up carving out only 3 lugan, which is 3/4 of a kav. So even though ultimately he's going to increase the area of the cavity, however, since some people leave it like that, therefore that will be included in the activity which is considered davar hamiskayim, and therefore you're going to be chayiv, even though there was area to make more, and on some level it's not the end result. However, since some people do leave it like that, that is something that you're going to be liable for. Now, in the next statement in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, he said, Hamaka bekurnas al asadim chulu. He said that not only are you liable for all these different acts of building, but even if you just hit the hammer on the anvil, you're going to be liable. To which the Gemara asked, my covered, what did he do? All the other things we spoke about, that he was making a hole in the wall, he did different constructive acts. Here, when you just hit the hammer on the anvil, you're not changing anything, you're not creating anything. Why is that considered a malacha to be chayv on Shabbos? So Rabbi Yosef Adam Tavayu, both Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef said the pshat is because he's training his hand. That is, he gets it used to and he directs it exactly how to hit it as when he would go to do and actually work on an actual vessel, whether a big blow or a small blow. So as he's doing that, he's getting trained and he's getting more mogul, and that's considered an act of work on of doing a malach on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, Kashu ba b'nei Rechava. The sons of Rechava found it difficult, this pshat. If someone witnesses an act of professionalism, he's watching someone that's fixing something, and he learns the trade. He's also going to be liable for doing malach on Shabbos. Well, what it means, it's the same idea. Here he's learning himself, he's getting the malacha, the omnis, the profession, down pat by fixing, by continuously doing the same act. And here he's also learning and cognitively getting the information. So what's the difference? Why would one be a malacha and one not? So therefore, they say a different pshat. The reason why you'd be liable for just hitting the hammer on the anvil is because they used to pound the sheets, which were, they used to use sheets of gold to plate the krushim, the panels. These were the planks that the Mishkan was made out of. That's what they used to do in the Mishkan. They would do this, that they used to hit 3 times on this plating and 1 time on the anvil. And the reason why they did that was to smooth out the hammer, that it shouldn't make a hole in the plating, which was very thin. And Rashi says that those of the coin makers, that in his days they used to do the same thing, that they would hit it 3 times and then go back and hit it 1 time on the anvil to smooth out the hammer, because it can get some rough edges when it's working out the plating of the gold and or in the coins. And therefore, since that's what they used to do in the Mishkan, as we know, that all the malachas of Shabbos are learned out specifically and exactly as it is in the Mishkan. And therefore, since that's considered a constructive act that was done in the Mishkan, so too, if someone just takes the hammer and bangs it out so that it's smooth, then now he can go ahead and do it for a kli to fix something, that's going to be considered malach on Shabbos. To which Gemara says, Tanya Malach, he's similar like this in the Braisa. Pshimim Lil Aimer, Afa Maka Bakurnis al Asad, Mishas Malach Achayev, which is the statement he says in our Mishnah, that also that someone that hits a hammer on the anvil during his work, he's going to be liable. And the reason is, as we said before, and the Braisa says it explicitly, Shekem Rad de Tasi Mishkan Isakim, because those that would pound the sheets of the gold plating in the Mishkan, that's what they used to do. And therefore, since in the Mishkan that was considered part of the constructive act of the Malacha, so too, in Hilcha Shabbos, the same thing would apply. And if someone does that, he's going to be liable for an Issur Malacha on Shabbos. Now we continue with the next Mishnah, discussing a different Av Malacha. HaChayrish, someone that plows, Kol Shuhu, even a small, minute amount, or Hamanache, someone that weeds, V'Hamakarsim, someone that prunes, that is, he breaks off the dry branches from the tree to improve the quality of the tree, or Vahamazarid, which is similar, someone prunes the new soft branches of this year. And why would they do that? Because sometimes there's too many of them and it drains the tree and it dries it out, and therefore they break off even some of the new shoots, again, as a form of pruning to improve the quality of the tree. So kol shuchai, even for just a minute amount, you're going to be liable for malacha of Shabbos. Similarly, hamalakit eitzim, some of the gathers branches through breaking off from the tree. So then it depends. Im lasakin, if he's doing it to improve the tree or the ground, that he's ripping it out from something that's connected on the ground, so then kol shehen, even a minute amount, again, will be make him liable for the malacha of breaking it off from where it's connected on Shabbos. However, im lahesik, if he's doing it to be able to have firewood, then it's kedei levashal beikal, that's the would be amount in the liability of the amount that you could cook a very easily cooked egg with that amount of wood, which is the size of a gregris, of a dried fig. But what type of egg is it? It's from the egg of a chicken, of a hen. And that is because it's very easily cooked, and it's the easiest cooked of all the different eggs. And that's why it's called a beikala. So as we know in Hilchas Shabbos, it always depends what your intent is with the malacha. So although you're doing the same activity of gathering the woods, it depends why you're doing it, to know which malacha that you're doing to be chayav on. And therefore, if you're doing it to improve the tree, so that's a small amount, that's going to improve it. But if you're doing it to be able to get it for firewood, so that's enough that it can be qualified as firewood, which is enough to cook the most easiest cooked thing, which requires the least amount of fuel, which is the egg of a chicken and the size of a gregers. Similarly, hamalakad asav, something that gathers grass. So it depends. Im losakin, if it's to improve the ground, then kosher, even the small amount. Im lebehema, but if it's being gathered to be able to use as fodder for the animal's food, then it's kamaloi piagadi, then it's for the mouthful of a kid goat. Again, the same concept that it depends why you're doing your act to say what would be the shear that you're being liable for, depending on what malacha goes into. Again, if it's for improving the ground or if it's for the food for the animal. Now the Gemara goes back to the first halacha said in the Mishnah. It said that hachayre, someone that plows, even a small amount is going to be liable. The Gemara asked, l'may chazi, what does it help? What is it fit for to plow just one little space? You can't plant a field in one spot, so what does that help? Why would that make someone liable? So the Gemara says, chazi lebizr the car. It is fit for a pumpkin seed, and that is you could plant in it one little seed of a gourd, of a pumpkin. And Rashi says that although on Daf Tzadim and Beis we said regarding the Malacha Vaitzah, of taking out the seeds of deluin, of gourds, of pumpkin, that it's only for two seeds, because someone's not going to go through the effort of taking out one seed. So Rashi says that's necessarily for the Malacha Vaitzah, of transporting. Because if you're transporting, you're only going to take two out together. You're not going to go through the bother for just one seed. However, regarding the Malacha of Harish, of plowing, each seed has its own pit. And therefore, you have to do an act for each one separately, because you don't plant two seeds in one pit. So therefore, yes, one pit will make you liable for the ability to be able to plant one seed in there, and therefore that's already fit, even enough for one seed. As the Gemara says, the Kavosa Gabe Mishkan, as we know, that everything for Shabbos, we have to find the parallel that was done in the Mishkan. And we find the same idea in the Mishkan, Shekein Ro L'Kalach Echad Shel Samanim, because if one little hole was fit for one stalk of the herbs, which are used as dye to make and dye the ureas, and therefore even one hole is enough already to be liable for the malach of cheresh. Now the Mishnah continued, Hamanach is something that weeds, Vamakar is something that prunes the dry branches, Vamazar is something that prunes the young shoots. So turn about, we'll learn the Braisa and we'll elaborate on this concept. Hatoilish Ulshun, someone that plucks endives, Vahamazarid Zradim is something that prunes reeds. And these reeds are a certain type of reeds, and there's three different stages of these reeds. When they're still soft and young, so then they would be pruned for people to eat it. When they got a little harder, then it was fit for animal food. When it totally dries, then it's used as firewood. And therefore, as we mentioned before, it depends why you're pruning them to know what your malacha is going to be on them, what the shear is going to be. As the Gemara says, as the Braisa elaborates, im lachila, if they're pruning it for eating, meaning for the person to eat it when they're still soft, then kegregris, then is the amount of a dried fig. That's always the shear of machalim of Hilchas Shabbos related to the human being. Im lebehema, if it's already a little bit harder, and now it's being pruned for animal food, then it's kamloi piagdi, then it's for the amount of a mouthful of a kid goat's mouth. Im lahasik, when they got really hard and it's being pruned just to use as firewood, then it's kedei levashal beikala, then it's for the amount that to be able to cook an easily cooked item, which is the egg of a chicken. Imli abasekarka, and if it's being done not for any of the outcomes of them, why you're taking it off, but rather just to improve the ground, then kosher. And then if it's even a small amount already, that will already improve it, that's if it's being done for the ground. To which the Gemara asks, aren't all the three items that we said when it's being taken for the person or for the animal or for firewood, all those are also inevitably improving the ground because it happens by itself. So therefore, by every case, you should be liable even for a small amount, not with the kid's goat, not with the kid goat's mouthful or for the amount of fuel. Right away, you already improved the ground. Which the Gemara says, Rabbi Rav Yosef, both of them say, Ba'agam Shonu. Those cases that we said you're only liable for the amount of the person or the animal, the firewood, that's talking about in the swamp, where there's no need to improve. It doesn't improve anything over there because it's swampland. And therefore, that's why you're not liable for even a kosher. Abaya says no. You can even say someone in the regular field that's not a swamp. So therefore, why aren't you liable even right away with a small amount? It's talking about in the situation where he didn't intend. And we know, Dabashay Meskavin, you're not chayav on Shabbos. But what Shigemara asks, that is, even Reb Shimon, that argues in the Yehuda, holds a davish ein miskaven, something that was not intended, is not going to be chayav on Shabbos. But even Reb Shimon agrees that if it's what's called psik reishay v'lo yomus, which is a metaphor they use, that psik reishay, you cut off the chicken's head v'lo yomus, it's not going to die. I didn't intend to kill it, I just wanted the head. Yeah, but that's inevitable. That is something that's inevitable, even if that's not what you're intending to do, but you know it's inevitable, that you're chayav for. So therefore here, the same thing applies, that yes, I didn't intend to improve the ground. I wanted it as fuel for firewood, or I wanted it to eat, or for my animal, but everyone knows that it's inevitable. Once you're going to take it off, it's going to prune it, and it's going to improve it. So therefore, how could you say that the reason why it's not going to be chayav for kosher because davar shein miskaven? But even Rabbi Shimon agrees that when it's inevitable that you will be chayav, even if that wasn't your intent. So the Gemara says, you're right. So loy tzricha, we have to say, it's talking about a case to ka'ovid ba'ar dechav, that he did it in his friend's field, where there doesn't care for him at all that it should be improved. And Tais elaborates on this a little bit more, and he brings from the Aruch that this is what's called in halachic literature psik reishu deloy nichale, that it's something that's inevitable, but something that you don't care for. It's not something that you want. And therefore the Aruch says, and because it's in your friend's field, not something that you want, and therefore the Aruch goes so far in this broad halacha, this concept, that it would be mutter even l'katchilo, and there's not even the issur d'rabbanan, because this is something that you don't want, and therefore it's not considered a constructive act. To which Tosis argues, and many Rishonim and Paiskim argue, and say that no, that this that it says in the Gemara, that loy tzricha, that the oved ba'ar d'chavi, that you did in your friend's field, that's only that you're not going to be liable for karmachatz. But definitely there is an iser. And Tosis says that, so what is the patur of ar d'chavi that it's in your friend's field? It's only because that falls under the rubric, the category of malacha she'en tzricha l'gufa, that it's an activity that you don't need for itself, because it's not what you want it for, because it's by your friend's field. And therefore, just like malacha she'en tzricha l'gufa, that's not intended for what you're doing it for, that you're right, you're not chayav achatz, but it still will be us like a tchila. And that is where the consensus comes out in that it will make you that you're going to be potter, but it's still possibly also l'katchilo to do. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which continues with a new malacha of hakosiv, someone that writes, which is one of the av malachas. Hakosiv shtei oisiv, someone writes two letters, bein biminoi bein mismoin, whether with his right hand or with his left hand, bein mishem echad, whether with one character, that is with one letter, the same letter, let's say they're both Alephs, bein mishtei shemes, whether of two characters, meaning one's an Aleph and one's a Beis, or bein mishtei samonius, or even if they're two different types of inks, one's with dyoi and one's with a different type called sikra. B'cholosh, and in any language, that is in any language, in any script of every type of a nation, chayiv, you're going to be liable, because that's the malach of ksiva when you write two different letters. And it doesn't make a difference if it's the same letter, like an Aleph, but as long as it's two letters, even two different inks, two different hands, it doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Yossi says, he qualifies the whole malacha of ksiva. He says, the liability of writing two letters was only because of making a marking. And that is because we learned that, because as we know, we learn everything from the Mishkan. That's how they used to write on the planks, on the boards of the Mishkan, to know which one matched up the other one. That is, they would make a marking on the boards of the Mishkan, because when they would take it apart, they always used to have to travel when they were taking the journey in the Midbar on the way to Eretz Yisrael. And when they would put it back together again, they didn't want to mix up the order of the crushim of the planks. So Rabbi Yossi comes to say that even if you don't write anything, no letters, rather you just make two markings as a siman, as a sign, even for that you're going to be liable. Ksiva does not mandate an actual letter, even a marking, two different markings will make you the liability, because where do we learn Ksiva from? We learn it from the Mishkan, and there was enough just as a marking, as a sign to know which one matched up to the other. It doesn't have to be an actual number or a letter. Amar Behuda, Behuda says a different concept. Mitzinu Shem Kot Meshem God, we find that you can be liable for Ksiva with a small name that's part of a bigger name. For example, Shem Mishimen Umishmul. When you write the word Shem, which is Shem Cham and Yaf, it's a name, from the larger name of Shimon or Shmuel. Or Noch Noyach Minocher. Nocher is one of the names, and Noyach is part of that name. Or Don Midaniel. Or God Migadiel. And what Rabbi Yehuda is coming to teach us is, even if you didn't finish what you wanted to do, that you intended to write a large word, and you ended up writing only a small part of it, that small is a word that's a word somewhere else, because that is a word, Noyach is a word, but I was going to write Nocher, but when you stop after Nun Ches, even though that's not what you wanted to do, and generally for the halachas of Shabbos, you're only liable when you do what you were going to do, since this is a name elsewhere, that itself would make it enough for the liability of a person. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss our mission. It goes back to the first thing that said, that when you're writing two letters, whether with the right hand or with the left hand, doesn't make a difference, you're going to be chayv. To which the Gemara asks, Bishlema yamin l'chayv, I understand that for the right hand you're going to be liable, from the derech ksiv b'kach, because that is the way, that's the form of how things are usually written. And as we know, halach Shabbos, they have to be done in the way they're usually done. As we know, the Melacha Beitzah, we spoke many times in Masechta Shabbos, that for transporting your chayv, if this is the way it's transported, but if I do it in the brim of my hat, if I do it in the cuff of my pants, that's not the way it's usually carried, that will not be a issa d'iraisa. So therefore, elas molamai. But so then therefore, why are you liable for writing with the left hand? Because people don't usually write with their left hand. And therefore, why are you liable both for the right and the left? You're right. That we're talking about with a left-handed person. And that's why he's liable for his left hand. But then the Gemara asks, if that's so, but you have a small day, came into Kuleyama, then his left hand should have the same halachic status as the right hand of everyone else. And therefore, yeah, I understand he should be liable for his left hand, but he shouldn't be liable for writing with his right hand, because his right is everyone else's left. And just like for left, you shouldn't be chayv, because that's not how it's usually done. A lefty doesn't usually write with his right. And therefore, that should be considered shaloi kedarka, not in the normal fashion. And he should be potter in his right hand. How can we have a case that someone will be liable, bein bimina and bein mismoyle? So therefore, the Gemara says, Ella, rather, Amar Abaye, b'sholid b'shtei yadav. We're talking about someone that has control of both his hands, that he's ambidextrous. Such a person, it's normal for him to write with his right or his left, therefore he's going to be liable for either one. Another pshat the Gemara brings, Rabbi Yaakov Bereid, the Bas Yaakov Amar, Homani, who is the town of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi. It's Rabbi Yossi. The Amar, loichai v'shtei Yossi, is el mishtam reishim. He said that the whole liability of writing two letters is only because of making markings. That you don't have to actually have writing, rather just making markings. And with a left hand, people will make a marking if you won't have to mark something. If it's closer with your left, you'll make a marking with your left because you don't need an act of writing. For writing, you need to have a certain professionalism, a certain control that you have to have, a flexibility. And that's required with you can have with the hand that has the most control. It's with your right hand, but just to make a mark, if it's any hand. And since the time of emission is Rabbi Yossi, so therefore, of course, you're going to be liable for either your right or your left hand. But then the Gemara asks, "V'hamad is safer Rabbi Yossi? He reishu lav Rabbi Yossi." If the end of our Mishnah quotes a different person saying Rabbi Yossi says that the writing is not for writing; it's even for just making a marking. So obviously, the reishu, which didn't say his name, is obviously a different Tana. The Gemara answers, "No, kul Rabbi Yossi. It's all Rabbi Yossi." And this that it says. Amar Rabbi Yossi was just coming to show who he was. And therefore, when our Mishnah said that whether you write with your right or your left is really the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who says that the malach of writing is for the malach of making a marking, because that's how it was done in the Mishkan, and therefore it doesn't make a difference, right or left. So then our Mishnah concluded, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Metzina. Rabbi Yehuda says, we find this concept of having a small name, which is really part of a larger name. So now the Gemara infers that from the way Rabbi Yehuda said his cases, that when he quoted this, the small name from the larger names, if you look at each one, you'll find that, as the Gemara says, El Rabbi Yehuda, Shtei Oisius, Behen Shnei Shem Oisud Mechayev. That, yes, you could have two letters that are two different characters then you're going to be liable. Because if you look at all the cases that he said, they weren't the same letters. Let's say shame is a shin and a mem. Noyach is a nun and a ches from the word nachar. Dun, which is from Daniel, is dalet and nun. And God is gimel and dal. They're different letters. However, but it would sound like, if you infer, because those are exactly the cases they picked, that if you have two different letters that are from the same character, let's say they're both olives, both bases, then you wouldn't be liable. That's what it sounds like, because or else you should have picked a case that, let's say sheish, which is six that have both shins from a larger name like shesha meimer, as we're going to see on Amid Beis, which is a larger word that you're taking a smaller name from that, so that it sounds like that then you would not be chayav, because the cases he picked were specifically when there were two different characters. However, by the time we learned the Braisa, not like that. There's a pasuk in Mayikra, which talks about when the liability of being chayav for a chatas, that you did something, an aveira, you did it b'shaygig, you did it inadvertently. So it says there in the pasuk, va'asa achas, and that you did one. In the larger context of the pasuk, it's in Mayikra, Perek, Dalet, pasuk Beis, it says that Dabel B'nei Yisrael Lema would speak to the Jewish people as follows, that nefesh kisecheta b'shkoga, that when a person will do an aveira inadvertently, mikol mitzvah Hashem, from all the mitzvahs of Hashem, ashaloy se'asen, that should not be done. So the pasuk concludes, and these are the words we're focusing on, the asa ma'achiz man, and he did one of these things. And then that goes on to explain what he should do. So it says va'asa achas. It really says me'achas, but the Gemara is going to make a point. It says va'asa achas, that he does one of the things that are wrong. And that is yochel at sheyichtav kol Hashem. You would think that you're going to be liable for a malacha that you're doing, let's say the malacha of writing, until you write the whole entire word. That's what you do one, what you're writing. Va'at sheyer kol habeger, or until you weave the entire article of clothing. We're talking about malachas that are asked to do on Shabbos. You would think until you do the entire malacha, or va'at sheyaseh kol hanafa, until you make the entire sieve. That is, you did one thing wrong. Tamaloyma me'achas. That's why the pasuk says that he did from one of these things, which comes to tell you that not even if you didn't do the whole achas, you didn't do the whole thing, you just only did part of it, still you're going to be liable for the malacha that you're doing. So for example, writing, even though you didn't do the whole writing, you didn't do the whole word, you only did part of it, you'd be liable even for part of it. However, therefore, ima achas, if I would have had the word from one, I would think that you'd be going to be liable for, let's say, writing, even if you only wrote one letter. Even me'achas, from the one act of what you're doing, from the one word you wanted to write, you wrote only one letter. Or, that you'd be liable for weaving, even if you only weaved one thread. And also, even if you only made one heddle eye in a sieve. Now, regarding this, the acts of weaving, and specifically now regarding a sieve, is that after they would put down the lines of the reeds, which are called the warp. The warp are the ones that are the so to speak, the longitude and the lines that are put down for the reeds. Then they would make the weft, here it's not thread, it was made with reeds. However, they put down one on the, they would wrap one on the top, one on the bottom. These are the latitudinal lines. And those are called the batim. Those are called the eyes. And they would lock the warp threads on the top and the bottom, they would wrap it around, and therefore it would be able to stay there in place so that you could do the act of weaving the sieve, which again is the interlocking of the lines, some like a plus sign, you know, you're making lines, these are the grids that go, those are the warp, and those are the weft threads, so therefore they would have these two, one on the top, one on the bottom, and with one heddle eye, which is the term we're giving it, and that is since we're not talking about threads, they call it a bias, they're calling it an eye, like the bati nirin, which we speak about regarding the malacha of ariga, of weaving, because here there's no other bati nirin, so we call the threads on the top, the one weft thread on the top, and the one weft thread on the bottom, we call this the bate, the bias of the sieve. So therefore, this is what we're talking about, that if you do just one of them, that wouldn't hold it, because then it would still spread out. You have to hold it that the lines would stay, that now you could put the threads between them to make the sieve. If you only have one on the top, they're still going to spread out. You have to have one on the top, one on the bottom. So therefore, again, to summarize what we're talking about is that we would think that you're going to be liable even for just doing one letter or weaving one thread or making just one heddle of the sieve, which is that one weft thread on the either the top or the bottom, that you'd be going to be liable. Tamalayim, we continue on to Amid Beis, achas. That's why it says that va'asa achas, in other words, even though it says me'achas, but it also uses the term of one, that it has to be a complete act. It's not enough just to do part of it. So how do you resolve this? Does it have to be achas or me'achas? Does it have to be the whole word or even part of the word? And that's what the Braisa says. Ein chayiv at sheyichtav shem katan m'shem gadol. It's somewhere in between. It has to be a complete act, but doesn't have to be the entire complete act. How is that possible? That's, for example, Shem Mishimenu Mishmu, Noyach Minocher, Dome Daniel, and God Megadil. That is, and you're doing part me'achas from that you didn't write the whole word Shimon or Shmuel that you wanted to write, but it's still achas, it's still complete in the sense that it's a complete name elsewhere, and it's not just one letter, which is nothing. And the same thing would apply to a beged, that it has to have two threads. And regarding the sieve, it has to have these two hetalais, one warp thread on the top and one on the bottom to hold it. And that's because a person doesn't weave an entire garment in one day. And he doesn't make a sieve in one time. And he starts to do it, but he makes sure it's in a way that it's not going to fall apart. That requires two threads for the beged, and requires these two batim for this sieve. And that's enough. That's already considered a complete project. That for today, this is enough, just like this name of shame, so too for the garment, not completing it is already considered a completion in the sense that it won't fall apart when you do at least two threads, both by the beged and by the sieve. That's the first opinion brought down the Braisa. A second opinion brought down, Rabbi Huda Omer, afil lekasav, even if he didn't write from the larger word that he wanted to write, el shtei yosius, v'hein shem echot chayv, even if it's only two letters that are from the same character, still you're going to be liable. For example, kugayin sheish, like six, teis, give, rar, uz, gag, roof, chach, bracelet. And that is, these are from larger words. For example, sheish, six, is really from, he wanted to write a larger name, brought down in nach, from sheish batzar, or sheishach, or the word sheshamim, which means desolate. Or for example, tes, which means to give, is from the larger word tisro'u, afraid, or titnu, to give. And definitely, that if he had in mind for the smaller word initially, of course, it's going to be chayiv. But what he's saying is that even if you intended to write this larger name, this larger word, even if you write two letters, even if they have the same letter, that you're going to be liable for. And this is going to be the point of the question, that it sounds like the inference from our Mishnah that it's only when the two different letters. Yet here, Rabbi Yehuda says explicitly, even when they're the same letters, sheish, tes, ror, gag, chach, that itself would be enough for liability. But first, the Gemara is going to conclude the Braisa with the other opinions regarding the malacha of doing the achas or me'achas, how much has to be complete and how much can be just a part of what you really wanted to do. So now the Braisa brings the third opinion. Do you really think that someone's liable at all because of writing, meaning letters and vocabulary? The whole act of writing is only because of making markings. Why? The whole act of ksiv was learned from the Mishkan, where there they would just make markings on the different boards to know which one matched up with the other. And therefore, if you make two markings on two different beams, poles, or you make two markings on one pole, you're going to be chayiv. It's enough just to make a marking. You don't need to have words at all. And therefore, you don't have to say that it's the word sheish or even two different letters to say it's part and shame from Shimon. Two markings is enough. That's enough to make you liable for the malach of ksiv. The fourth opinion brought in the Braisa, Reb Shimon Oimer, it says in the pasuk v'asa achas, that if he does one of the averis of the malachas of Shabbos, so yochalat sheyichtav es kol Hashem. So again, as we said before, you would think until you write the whole entire name, because it says that you'll do one. It sounds like the whole act. Ad sheyer kol habeger, or until you weave the entire garment. Ad sheyasas kol hanefo, until you make the entire sieve. Tamalei ma'achas, that's what it says, from the one. That means that even if you do only part of it, and then even ma'achas, but if it would have said from the one, yochalat filo lekazav elois achas, you would think going to be liable, even if you only write one letter. Vafilo erigel chudechod, even if you only weave one thread. Vafilo asa elabayis echav enofo, or even if you make only one headalai, so to speak, in the sieve, which is you only have that one thread going on the latitude, either on the top or the bottom. Tamalum achas, it says it's one, that it has to be in somewhat complete, and just doing one letter or one thread is not going to be complete in any sense of the matter. So Hawkate says, how do you resolve this? You're not liable until you do an activity, an action, a malacha, that type could endure. And the Gemara later is going to ask, it sounds like the same as the Tanakama, which when the Gemara asked that, it really means that it sounds like it's saying the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda, that as long as you do even the most minute amount of two letters or two threads, that's going to make you liable because that's what endures. However, the Braisa concludes, Rabbi Yehuda says, and the Gemara later is going to explain everything that he says over here, it says, Va'asa achas, that it says on the one hand, it says that he'll do one of the things that are wrong. Yet it also says, Va'asa heina, that he will do these. In other words, it says in the pasuk, Va'asa me'achas mehin, that he will do from one of these things. And really, it could have just said va'asa me'achas, that he'll do one, or it could have said va'asa me'hena, that it does from these. Why is it va'asa me'achas me'hena? So he really says, he sees like the word va'asa going on either achas or hena, va'asa me'achas or va'asa hena. And that is, pa'amim shechayiv achas al kulan, sometimes you could be liable for one chatas, for all the things you do wrong. Pa'amim shechayiv al kol achas v'achas, sometimes you could be liable for each one individually. And the Gemara is going to explain later exactly what's the understanding of this drasha of Rabbi Yosi. However, the Gemara concludes its question. Ketani miya, however, ultimately, what do we see from this brisa? Rabbi Huda Imra, we see Rabbi Huda said that even if you write only two letters, even if they're from the same character, Sheish, Tes, Rar, Gag, all these things, they're from the same letters, and still you're going to be liable. Yet in our Mishnah, all the examples he gave were only different. Shame from Shimon and Shmuel, he gave that they were in the different letters. That why is that? It sounds like then, if he should have said a bigger chiddush, even when they're from the same letters, that even then you're going to be chayiv. So that seems to be a contradiction between his opinion in the Mishnah and his opinion in the Braisa. So Shkema says, Loi kasha, hodi de hodi rabbi. That his opinion was stated in the Mishnah, but the opinion that he says in the Braisa was the opinion of his rabbi. The Tanya is written in the Braisa, where he says it explicitly in the name of his rabbi. Rabbi Huda Aimim Mishum Rabbi Gamliel. It was said in the name of Rabbi Gamliel. I feel like Kosovel based Isis. Even if he only writes two letters, Vehein Shem Echad, and they're the same character, Chayiv is going to be liable. Kagain, Sheish, Tes, Ror, Gag, and Chach. So therefore, that resolves the contradiction. Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion is that it has to be different characters, and the opinion of his rabbi is that even if they're the same character. But now the Gemara goes back and asks on the price that we just quoted. Rabbi Shimon Hainu Taina Kama. Rabbi Shimon, who says that as long as it's something that endures, is really the same as the opinion of the Taina Kama, which is really a reference to Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Gamliel, that Sheish and Tes, all these things that even the most minute amount is going to make you liable. What's the difference? Why is he repeating the opinion as a different opinion? So the Gemara says that Bechitema, if you're going to say Aleph, Aleph, Da'azercha Ikebenayo, that if you're going to say that there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says A'azercha, that I will gird you, where there's two Alephs, A'azercha, that I will gird you. Maybe that is the point of contention between them. That is, when you have two letters from a larger word, but when you don't find that smaller word anywhere else in the whole entire Tanakh, anywhere in the pasuk, that is the Tanakamas of Rabbi Huda in the name of his Rabbi held, Aleph, Aleph, Da'azercha Lemechayim. Now, then you're not going to be liable because that's not what's called a shame cotton from a shame gadol. That's not a word at all. It's not sheish, it's not tes, it's not rar, it's not a word in itself. A'azercha, yes, you're taking out two letters, which is part of a larger word, but it's not a word in its own right. And therefore, that, Rabbi Yehuda behold, that you're not chayim. This, Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be liable even for just two letters. Rabbi Shimon Savar, Kivin de Isei, Biglatoy, Rabbi Alma, chayim. Since it's in these different amulets, these kameis and these writings of the sorcerers, that the scribes would write these letters of two different letters of the same character, even though it's not written elsewhere, they would put into these different scripts that they would write. So since there it's written, then you're going to be liable. And that is where Reb Shimon says, yes, even for that, just for two aleves, you're going to be chayiv. And that the Gemara says, are you saying that Reb Shimon is more machmer than all the different opinions, that even if it's just going to be two aleves, that more chamer than Reb Yehuda, that you're going to be liable? But time, we learn the Braisa that to the contrary. It seems like Reb Shimon is more lenient, that he holds that it's not enough just to have two aleves, something that's not even a word in itself, that would be enough to make you liable. That no, you have to do the entire act. It's not enough to just do part of it. He wouldn't even hold it Yechayiv even for shame from Shimon, even. As the Gemara brings, what time you learn the Braisa? Hakideach kol shehu chayiv. Someone that drills even a small amount, he's going to be liable. That is, he makes a small little hole, even if he didn't go all the way through the wood to the other side, you're going to be liable. Similarly, hamagar kol shehu, someone that scrapes even a small amount, that is, the scraping is that they would scrape a pole or a piece of parchment, that it's a talada, it's a derivative of the melacha b'machik of smoothing. Or hama'abed kol shehu, someone that tans even a small amount. Or hatsar b'klit tzura kol shehu, someone that engraves in a vessel, a design, even a small amount, and that is from the image that he wants to make. So then he's going to be liable. That's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. If Shimon argues, he says no. Ad shekadeach is kula, until you drool all the way through. Achi yugra is cool until you scrape the entire thing that you're scraping. Achi ab is cool until you tan the entire thing. Achi yatsa cool until you engrave the entire thing that you intended to scrape or to tan from the beginning that you intended to do, that you have to do the entire thing. And the same thing would apply to writing. And therefore, not only would he not hold you liable for a'azerach of the two aleves, but even from shame from Shimon or Shmuel, he will hold you not chai because that's not what you intended to do. He says you have to do the entire thing that you intended to do, and only then will you be chai. So how could you say Shimon is more machmer? So if the Gemara revises what the machleik is between Reb Shimon and Yehuda is, and Reb Shimon is saying something totally different. Reb Shimon, this is exactly what he's coming to teach, like we just quoted his opinion from the Braisa. You're right, until you write the entire name that you meant to say. And the term that Reb Shimon says, that it has to be a malacha, that shekhayetza b'miskayemis, that's the type that endures, it means, miskayemis means it's a reference to his intent, what he intended to do. And only then will you be liable if you write the entire word you wanted to write. However, the Gemara asks on that. Well, Mimit says, Amr, could you say that this is what the understanding of the opinion of Reb Shimon is, that you have to write the entire word you wanted to write? But by telling the Braisa, Reb Shimon Omer, va'asa achas, that you're going to do one. So that, as we said before, yochal at sheyichtav es Hashem kol, you would think until you write the entire name. Tamal Omer ma'achas is enough, even from the one. Which sounds like that, no, you don't have to write the entire word you wanted to write. As long as it's a viable name elsewhere, it's something that's used, like shame from Shimon or Shmuel, then you're going to be chayv. So how can you say it until you write the entire word you wanted to write, and that it's not enough, even if you write shame from Shimon, where he says explicitly that me'achas tells you it's enough to even write part of it. So the Gemara says, Tarat ve'emach, you have to reinterpret that braisa, when it says me'achas, enough even if you do part of it, that as follows. Yochol at sheyichtav es ha'pasa kulay. You would think that you're not going to be liable for writing until you write the entire verse that you wanted to write. That's what we learned from the pasuk, from the one, that it's enough even if you only do part of the verse that you wanted to write, which is as long as you write the entire word that you wanted to write. But part of a word, for that's not going to be liable because that's not writing anything. And therefore, although it's a word elsewhere, that's not going to be chayiv. And therefore, Reb Shimon is the mochamer, he's the more kal de geshita, that you're only going to be liable until you write the entire word. And therefore, it's not the same opinion as Rabbi Huda, who holds that you will be chayiv if you write shame from Shimon or from Shmuel. So now the Gemara goes back to the Braisa, as the Braisa concluded with the following statement from Rabbi Yisi. Rabbi Yisi Oimer, va'asa achas and va'asa hena. In other words, it says in the pasuk, va'asa me'achas mehena. So there's a lot of extra, so to speak, letters and words over here. It could have said va'asa achas, he'll do one. And it could have said va'asa hena, he'll do these. It doesn't have to say me'achas me'hena. So therefore, Rabbi Yisi said, pa'amim shechayiv achas al kulan. Sometimes you'll be liable for one chatas, for all the averis that you did. Pa'amim shechayiv al kol achas b'achas. Sometimes you'll be liable for every single one individually. So the Gemara comes to explain this. Amar Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Chanina. My time with Rabbi Yisi. What is the understanding of Rabbi Yisi? How did he make the drushes that he made? So the Gemara elaborates now and details each point. It says in the pasuk, achas, me'achas. In other words, it should have really written, va'asa achas mehina, that if he'll do one of these averis. And it should have stopped, and it shouldn't have written me'achas, the extra mem. The mem is extra. And moreover, the word mehina is extra. Shouldn't have said, va'asa me'achas mehina. It could have just said, va'asa achas, and that's it. He did one avera. And then continue and say, what is his tikkun? What should he do to bring a carbon? Moreover, hena mehena, that, or else, it should have just written the word hena, that va'asa hena, he did these things. And it shouldn't have written mehena, the mem is extra. And moreover, the word me'achas is extra. And the reason why it says all these extra things is to darshan and extrapolate the following halachas that we're going to say as follows. And that is, as Rabbi Yisi says, achas shehi hena, vehena shehi achas. You also have the idea that sometimes you have one that's them, and you have them that's one. And that is, you darshan the achas heina without the mems as follows. In other words, we're obviously saying that the word me'achas and me'heina, their mems are extra. Now, so we're going to darshan their mems in a moment. But what does it say achas and heina? Again, we said that you either have the word achas or have the word heina. Why is it saying achas and heina? Because it's coming to teach you that there's achas shi heina and there's heina shi achas. In other words, there's two ways you could darshan the understanding of the pasuk. If you do one avera, and it for you, it's heina. That's achas, you're doing one avera, but it's heina for you. That is, you're going to be liable many carbon chatois. Or you could dash in the pasuk, va'asa achas, that it's going to be considered for you as one, meaning your asiyah will be like one, even though it's really heina for you. And that is, it's going to be mashma that you did many averas, but that's, you're going to be liable only one. That's heina shi achas, that's you did many, but it's going to be only one carbon. And therefore, since you could darshan the pasuk both ways, so sometimes we'll say like this and sometimes like that, as the Gemara is going to explain, when are we going to say that you'll be doing one avera that will make you liable for many korban chatos, and when you will do many korban chatos, and you're going to be liable for one avera. So now the Gemara explains all the different points that we darshan. Achas. It should have said achas, one, not me'achas, one, that you did one. That would have been understanding of Shimon. In other words, when we're coming to darshan, the extra mem, because achas would have said that you're only liable until you write the whole word that you wanted to write from the beginning. Me'achas, when it's there, subsequently, when really the Torah writes from one, that comes to tell us, as we mentioned before in the Gemara, shame me Shimon, that the reason why it says me'achas is coming to tell you that even if you didn't write the whole word you want to write, only part of it, as long as that's a viable word elsewhere, similar to that it says the achas in the Torah, me'achas is part of that. So part of that, we'll say that if you write the word shame, you're already going to be liable, even if you didn't write the whole word you wanted to write, of meshim. Now, we said also, it should have said only the word heina, them. That would have included avis, that the primary malachas, for that you're going to be chayav. Now that it says meheina from them, that comes to include toilados, the derivatives, and that is because the word heina would have been mashed with the avis. Now that it writes meheina, is coming to include the derivatives too. And now we say, fine, so we understand why it says me'achas, because the mem comes to include even part of the whole achas. And me'hein, we understand why it says, because the mem, it comes to include the telodis of the avos. Yeah, but why does it say the word achas or heina? Either say achas or heina and not achas. So therefore, the drasha is, because sometimes we wanted the word achas and heina, because sometimes it's coming to tell you achas sheheina, sometimes that you're going to do one which will be many averes, that is in the case of Zodin Shabbos v'shigigas malachas, that where you were intentional regarding Shabbos, you knew it was Shabbos, you went to shul, you ate shalom, but you were unintentional, you were inadvertent regarding doing the actual malachas. And that is, although all of them is really on one chil Shabbos, you're going to be liable for each individual malachas separately, because they are separate gufe malachas. And therefore, since they're separate shagogos, that is, you were inadvertent regarding this being chayrish and this being zirei. Each one is its separate shagogos. You were inadvertent. Each one has its own category. And since you're unaware, they're not considered one shagoga of Shabbos because you knew about Shabbos. Rather, each category has its own inadvertency, and therefore, although it's one thing, it's achas, one chil Shabbos, but it's heina that you're going to be liable for many korban chatos up to 39 of the malachas of Shabbos. However, heina she achas, sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes it's many averes that are only going to be liable for one aver, for one chatos. That is, shigge Shabbos versus other malachas, that's when you were unaware regarding Shabbos. But you were intentional regarding doing the malachas. And that is, although there are all many different malachas that you're doing, Kaitzer and Zireya and Chayrish, you're doing all these different things, you're only going to be liable one, because ultimately it was only one Shaykik. You didn't realize it was Shabbos. You thought it was Tuesday. You were unaware. And therefore that is the one Shaykik you had. So therefore, although there are many different malachas, you did 15 different malachas, you're only going to be liable for one Kamachatis, because it was one Shigaga, one inadvertency, which was the inadvertency of being aware that it's Shabbos. That's going to be Heina Sheyachas. So again, now we have a clarity of why we have all these extra mems and these two extra words, because all of them are coming to teach us these different concepts of Me'achas, even part of the whole word, Me'heina, even the Teilada of the Av, and Achas and Heina. Why do we have to have both words? Coming to tell you something, Zil Achas, that's Heina, that although it's one Chil Shabbos, you're going to be liable on many Kamachatoyas on each separate category of the Malachas. And something you have Heina Sheyachas, you'll have that you did many Malachas, but you're only going to be liable one because it was inadvertency regarding Shabbos, which was one Shagoga, and it's the Shagoga, it's the inadvertency, is that what's Mechayev you regarding the Chiyav of Karban Chatos. So now, we had said before that Amr Behuda, Mitzinu Shem Katim Shem Gadol, we find that you could have a liability. It says in our Mishnah that having a small name from a larger name. But the Gemara asks, Mi Dami, is it really similar? In other words, this person that intended to write Shimon, he only ended up writing Shame. Now, you're saying that he's liable because it's a word elsewhere. So although he didn't finish writing the word he wanted to do, but he wrote the Shin Mem. But there's a problem because he, as he was writing Shimon or Shmuel, he wrote Shin, and Mem is a Mem Psuch, like it's called an open Mem, a Mem that's in the middle or in the beginning of a word. Now, how can you call that's viable elsewhere? But that's not true. As the Gemara says, Mem, the Shame, is Sasim. When you're writing the word Shame, you write a Mem Sofit, like it's called a Mem Sutuma, or an Endemem. It's a Mem that's closed. Mem de Shimon Pesuach, but the mem when you're writing the word Shimon is open, as we see in the words of the Gemara, as it's written. And therefore, how can you say that this word is viable elsewhere? Shin mem, with an open mem, is not written anywhere. So therefore, the Gemara says, Rav Chizkiya says, "Zayis obviously from here you could prove from our Mishnah that sasim v'asim pesuach kasha. Obviously, that if you had to write a mem sofit, like for example an endomem, a closed mem, and you ended up making it open, obviously that it would be kosher for the halachas of writing a tefillin or mezuzahs. Because if it wouldn't be, then obviously it wouldn't be viable elsewhere. And if it wouldn't be viable elsewhere, then you wouldn't be chai for the halachas of writing on Shabbos. So obviously writing shin mem with an open mem is like writing shin mem with an end mem, and therefore you're going to be chayiv for writing that because that's considered already a word that's elsewhere. And obviously it is kosher, to which the Gemara asks, but Meisve, we learned in the Braisa, not like that. Says in the Torah, Uchsavtam, that you should write them, which is a reference to writing the tefillin and the mezuzahs. So the drasha is, Shetehei chesivatam, that the script should be complete. That means complete according to all the halachas that's supposed to be. That's why he writes, Chsavtam, it's made up of two words, you should write it complete. As the Braisa continues with Nariches, a lengthy drasha of writing, how the proper writing of that a sefer should do when he's writing a tefillin and mezuzahs. And that is, Shleichtav alfen einin, einin alfen. He shouldn't write the aleves as an ayin or an ayin as an aleph. And that is, some people would write that because since they sound the same, so they would write they would change up the ayin and the aleph. It's not true. You're not allowed to change an ayin for an aleph. Or basin chafin and chafin basin, to switch a bays for a chaf or a chaf for a bays. And that is, since they're similar in the way they're written, it's just you have a small little line sticking out of the bottom of the bays. So we're saying that you have to be careful that not to write the bays as the chaf or the chaf as the bays. Gimel tzadin, tzadim a gimel. You shouldn't write a gimel as a tzadi or a tzadi as a gimel. And that is, they're also very similar in the way they're written. They both have the line coming down, this diagonal line. It's just that the tzadi has its leg going up on the top and the gimel has its leg coming down on the bottom. So again, it's important to know that every small little shrechel, like it's called, any small little line coming out, this leg, yeah, makes a difference. The leg coming out on the top or on the bottom, it's going to be a different letter. Dalsin, Rashin, Dalsin. You have to be careful not to mix up the Dalads with the Rashis because they're also very similar. The Dal has just that small little line coming out on the top. So you shouldn't mix those up either. Hey and Chesin, Chesin, Hein. Hey and Ches are also very similar. Hey just has a little break in the line of the on the left-hand side coming up. You have to be careful not to have that little break if you're writing a Ches, or not to have it connected if you're writing a Hey. Similarly, Vav and Yudin Vavin. If Vav and Yud are also very similar, it's just that the Vav is a little bit longer than the Yud. You have to be careful when you're writing a Yud. Don't make it too long, then it looks like a Vav already. And you're making a Vav, don't make it too small, then it looks like a Yud. Zayin and Nun and Nun and Zayin. That when you're writing a Zayin, you have to be careful not to mix it up with a Nun. And we're talking about a Nun Pashut, I mean a Nun Sofit, and a Nun, which is also just like the way it's written, at least in the Sefer Torah or in Tefillin Mezuzahs. Is it has the same as a Zion, it just goes longer down. You have to be careful that the Nun should not look like the Zions. Tessin, Payfin, and Payfin, Tessin, that you shouldn't mix up the Tess with the Pay. And that is, a Tess can look like a Pay that's connected to a Zion. And therefore, you have to be careful when you're writing the Pay or the Tess that they shouldn't get confused. That is, again, especially when you're having the Pay next to the Zion, that it shouldn't, if there's going to be a break in the Tess, it's going to look like a Pay in the Zion, not a Tess. You have to be careful when you're writing those letters. Kafufin, when you're writing a bent letter, that is a Chaf, a Pay, a Tzadi, or a Nun, these are letters that are bent. You shouldn't mix them up with pshutin, with the ones that are straight, meaning the ones that are the sofit, the end letters of those which are straight. When they're supposed to be bent, don't make them straight. And pshutin kvuvim, when they're supposed to be straight, when they're in an end letter, then you shouldn't make them bent over. And when it's in the beginning, in the end, they're supposed to be, depending how they're supposed to be, a chaf is supposed to be bent over, don't make it straight. When it's supposed to be straight, don't make it bent over. Memin samchin, and samchin memin. Don't mix up the mem with the samach, specifically a mem stuma, a closed mem, which is very similar to a samach. A samach is just a little bit rounded. Again, don't mix up the mems and the samachs. And then we come to the point of the braisa why we introduced it, is setumin pesuchim. That, for example, a mem setuma that's closed should not be written as a mem pesuach, like an open mem. And pesuchim stumin, an open mem, should not be written like a closed mem. And that's going to be the point of the question, which we see from this braisa, that it's not true. You're not supposed to have an open one like a closed one, or a closed one like an open one. And therefore that seems to contradict the point that we were saying before, that we can have an open one as a closed, or a closed and open is going to be the same. And that's why Shem, even though it's now it's written open, will be kosher and therefore liable for Shabbos as a closed one. But the braisa continues, Parsha Psucha lo yesenes tuma, an open chapter should not be written as a closed chapter, and that is open is that there's a space between the chapters, and a closed one is that there's no space. Setuma lo yesenes psucha, when it's supposed to be a closed chapter, it shouldn't be an open chapter. Kasva, if someone writes for the Sefer Torah, kashira, like a song, which when a shira, for example, like Az Yasha is written in the Torah, it's written with spaces, like almost like bricks, one on top of the other. You have a brick and a space on top of that. It's almost like as if you could climb up on the bricks. Or you wrote a song, meaning like a shira, like Az Yasha, not the way it's supposed to be written in the Sefer, rather you wrote it as a regular, as it's normally written in the lines as a Sefer Torah. Or you wrote it without ink, with the right ink that it's supposed to be written. Or you wrote the names of Hashem with gold, and you thought it's going to be a chashivas, gold letters. All these cases we spoke about, they have to be hidden away, they have to be buried, because it's not a kosher Sefer Torah, it's not written well, if he mixed up any of these things we spoke about in the Brais. So the Gemara's question is, it says over here that a mem pesuach cannot be mixed up with a mem sasim. And that is, even if it's written the word shame in the Torah, for example, shame chaman yafis, that the word shame was written shim, shin, and that mem pesuach, an open mem, not a closed mem, that you have to hide that away. It's not kosher. So the Hagur say for the halachas of a Shabbos, you're going to be liable if you write shem from shimon because it's viable elsewhere. It's not viable elsewhere because now it's being written open and it has to be written closed. So the Gemara says, you're right, from this Bryce, it seems like that. However, Hudamakiaitan, he says like a different Tana, which shows from this Tana that even if you mix them up, that it is kosher. The Tana has learned the Bryce. Behuda ben Maseir Oimer, Nemer B'Sheni, it says on the second day of the Karbonus of Sukkos, says Vinis Kehim, and their libations, and the pourings that they would pour. Now, it should really say Viniska, and their pourings. It shouldn't say, or Vinis Unsecheho, the extra mem, the mem is extra. And moreover, it says B'Shishi, on the sixth day of the Karbonus of Sukkos, it says Unsecheho, and its pourings. Again, it should say Viniska, like it normally says, and it's pourings. Why is it extra yud? Bishvi, on the seventh day of Sukkot, it says kimishpatam, as according to their law. And it says kimishpat. Why does it have the extra mem? And that the Gemara says a drasha. Hare mem yud mem. We have extra letters from these things. We have the extra mem, the extra yud, and the extra mem. We have the mem from viniskehem. We have the yud from unsecheha. And we have the mem from kimishpatam. What do these three letters spell? Mayim, water. Mikan remez l'nisach ha'mayim in the Torah. From here we have an allusion to what's called nisach ha'mayim. We make simchas beis she'evis. Those were all based on the fact that there was the pouring of the water from the Torah. We have an allusion to it. For what do you see from here? That the word mem, the first mem of the word mayim, which is a mem, an open mem, where do we learn that from? We learn from the word of viniskehem, of and their pourings. Now, that mem that we learn it from is a closed mem, and yet we use it to learn up for the word mayim, which the word mem, the first mem, is a mem pesuach. So from here you see that if you have an open mem and you made it closed, that it's going to be kosher because this is where we're learning it from. The word mayim that's being alluded to in the Torah, the first mem, which is an open one, is learned from viniskehem, which is a closed mem. So obviously we see that it's the same. And that's what the Gemara says, umet pesuach vasa sasim kasha. And therefore from the fact that when you have an open mem, which is the word mayim that we're hiding it, so to speak, in the Torah, and you made it closed from the word that viniskehem, that it's kosher, so sasam nami, so therefore closed also, that sasam vasa besuach kosher, that if it's closed and you made it open, it's going to be kosher, and therefore, when you write the word shame from the word shimon, it's going to be kosher, it's going to be viable elsewhere, and therefore, you're going to be liable for the halachas of Shabbos. When you write shame, even read with an open mem, that even though it was supposed to be closed, but just like you make open, closed, that it's kosher. You make a closed one open, it's also going to be kosher. And if you're chayev for the halachas of Shabbos.